Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donnie Capri, from the time I went to Italy, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, a.k.a. Donski Blackamora, a.k.a. Don Strowman, a.k.a. the modern-day Goof Haja, coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby. Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, wee. The girl, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. Yeah, baby.
One for the record, back.
Back in action for your satisfaction with all that hot, hot wrestling action. Going right into another intro. Here we go. Hup, hum.
Yeah. Chopped and screwed version.
Yeah, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling. Hey, Nasty Newman's in studio. What up?
How about it?
Yeah, hey. Look, before we get into all the hot, hot wrestling action, remember, if you want to support this show, you can check out our Patreon right now. Become a patron at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. On there right now, we got a bonus episode with At Wrestling For Sale, where I make wrestling purchases. This is one of the biggest wrestling merch dealers. This guy has all of the awesome stuff. Check out his website, and we talk all things merch on that episode. Also, we got a preview of our Patreon. On the main feed, me and Skylar Astin break down Macho Man's wedding from SummerSlam 91, which he was there live at, an MSG. Baby, baby, gabba, ooh, gabba, MSG.
Most important day of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Not gonna wait for nothing.
Come on, you're supposed to wait.
Got a blender.
You put together a few cocktails. Oh,
that is Macho Man opening up his wedding presents and realizing he got a blender.
Got a blender.
Oh man, yes, you could check that out. Also, I'm just running the gamut on the podcast circuit.
Busy day.
Got a bunch of podcast to plug. I am on this week's Masked Man with former guests of the show and my buddies Dave Schilling and Dave Shoemaker. We're breaking down all the hot, hot wrestling action over there. Same thing we're doing over here, breaking it down. And you can check that out. That's out now. And also, I'm on Raised by TV with Lauren Lapkus and John Gabris. That's a Earwolf podcast. You can check that out. Matt McCarthy's on that episode also. And we're just talking wrestling in general, growing up, watching wrestling, looking at dudes' pecs.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Remember, you can cash in for the new listeners of the show. You can get your opinions on this show. Leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. Leave us a voicemail and we'll play it on the show. Now, last thing to talk about is something pretty exciting. We are currently running our WrestleMania 34 Mania Chair Challenge Contest where you can win the WrestleMania 34 souvenir chair that I sat on at the Superdome. Silverdome? The Superdome, brothers. And you can win that. Here's how you enter this contest, Newman. You want to know? I mean, are you going
to
enter?
I'd love to know. No, I mean, I'm so musically talented that it would just go to me and it would
be
fair.
Yeah, we'd just crush.
No, so the way to enter this is, it's simple. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You know, that's easy. Say we rock. It's not a lie. Yeah. We're the best, baby. Shame. you can leave us that 5-star review and then... Lastly, well, you got to join our Facebook page also, at Comedians of Wrestling.
That's really the most important part, I think.
Bobby Lashley.
Vince's guy, Bobby Lashley. No, Trump. Donald Trump's hero.
Yeah.
Join the Comedians of Wrestling, our Facebook page, where you can talk about wrestling at 4 a.m. Join on there. And here's what we're doing. Here's the nuts and bolts of the whole thing is you got to leave us. You got to make the official Comedians of Wrestling theme song. Now, it's not as hard as it sounds. Our theme song on this show, as we know, is unofficially Hall & Oates Out of Touch.
Yeah.
Here's the little jam. You guys know this song, right? So all you got to do is get an instrumental version of this song and make some lyrics to it. Submit it, post it on the Facebook page, and you're in. You know?
We've had some solid submissions so far, I'll say.
Absolutely. We've got 3 or 4 submissions already. So post them on there. They're all due May 16th.
Yeah, okay? Right now, I mean, everybody has like a 25% chance. Yeah. That's pretty high.
This is neck and neck.
Yeah. And this is to be an official sound drop of this show. Yeah. We will be on the board, baby. Okay?
And for once, we won't be goofing on you.
No.
Well.
Absolutely.
I make no promises.
Yeah, just get leave a song, right? These guys know their stuff. The Comedians of Wrestling, it's Newman, Zig, and Noosh. They know enough anyway. I love these guys. They know their stuff. Anyway, you do something better than that and make it about wrestling. That would help. And yeah, leave that for us, and then you can join the contest. Good, Newman?
That's good.
Oh, man, I feel like I got to redeem myself. That was not a good one.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Okay. Ready? Oh, yeah. The Rock. He gives you the rock bottom. Stone Cold. Hit you with the stunner. But no one impresses you more than Newman, Zig, and Dan. Hey, Comedians of Wrestling. Are these guys? They rock my world at the hoagie shop. Okay. Okay. Well, we're getting
Hall
close.
Hall & Oates, dude.
Hall & Oates, bro.
Hall & Oates.
That's a running joke about how all of our listeners work at the hoagie shop in Philly.
In Philadelphia.
Okay, let's get into wrestling. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, cool. So, we have the greatest Royal Rumble coming up on Friday, baby. 9 a.m. for us West Coasters.
Oh, it is?
It's 9 a.m.
Oh, no, I thought it was noon West
Coast. No. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So take your lunch break at the Huggy Shop. Yeah. You can listen to it, and right when you show up to the Taco Hut on the West Coast, you flip on the network on your smartphone, and you fucking hit the waves, hang 10, check out the greatest Royal Rumble. Here's the deal with this pay-per-view. I don't know, I don't know if I should care about it or not. Like, on one hand, it's a glorified house show.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then on the other hand, it's like the stakes are really high. Like, 7 belts are on the line.
Yeah.
It's just like, we don't know how much they're going to make this thing matter.
Yeah.
The Royal Rumble has, it looks like it's for a trophy.
Yes.
And because it's for a trophy, which I know only from the graphic, I don't even think they verbally said, you win the trophies.
Right.
I don't think they said that. You know the new announcer who's a baby, right? He's you win the trophies.
Yeah.
You win the trophies.
Yeah.
No, I don't know why I pluralized that for no reason. It's tough being from Long Island. It's hard to speak.
Dash it.
Okay, so, but, if you win a trophy, I think then that means that Royal Rumble actually is, not a big deal to win, right?
No.
It's similar to the Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
Right. Bragging
it's just
rights.
A way to give it to someone on the Masked Man. We were saying Bobby Lashley.
Right.
He's a good one. It's all right, give him some sort of crown. But Daniel Bryan was someone people were predicting a lot on the thread. You give it to Daniel Bryan and he's yesing with a cup?
Right.
Crap.
Yeah.
He's not playing hockey or something.
Right.
It's a bad idea. So, we could do predictions on the Royal Rumble. But
right,
I feel like, we could do it.
Oh, no,
you know what that sound is.
How's it going, boys?
He gets in every single time.
It's Alex Jones, Alex Newman Jones.
How's it going? I just got dropped off by a black van.
Oh, my God, from InfoWars here. Why are you here, man? I'm trying to talk about the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia.
You're talking about a Royal Rumble? I'm here to get my Royal Rumble predictions.
I mean, all right, I was just saying I don't really care about these predictions.
Too bad. I don't give people what they care about. I give them what they don't know they should care about. Okay. That's the crux of my whole thing.
Okay, fine. All right, so I guess, well, let's just start it out. Who do you think's winning? Undertaker versus Rusev. What happens in that match?
The Undertaker is going to win, and I'll tell you why. This man, Mark Calloway, is an interdimensional demon.
Okay, yeah, I see where you're going already here. Okay.
No, hear me out.
Okay.
He's an interdimensional demon. He's life force. The lightning that comes from the ceiling, that is actually souls and psychic energy that he's stolen from children. Okay? He uses his undead powers to siphon the psychic energy of a people into another dimension for Google to power their... you've seen the movie Elysium, right? They're trying to build a ring. Everybody's seen that movie. No, Matt Damon. Fantastic movie.
It was a major bomb, that movie.
It's great movie. Yeah. So the elites are trying to leave Earth, and they're going to live on a ring around the Earth, and that's where the power of the Undertaker comes in. So I think, yeah, he's going to win that one.
Oh, yeah, okay. So Undertaker wins?
Undertaker wins.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I didn't follow any of that. Well, some sort of interdimensional caste system of...
The Undertaker's interdimensional demon. He takes the souls and the psychic energy from children.
Oh, let's move on.
Okay, oh, fine.
Okay. All right. Are you eating a steak again?
Of course I'm eating a steak. I eat nothing but of raw red meat to get my testosterone through the roof. Then I pop a couple of Brain Force Plus pills. They're a nootropic. My mind is firing on all cylinders. It's a little bit like Adderall. You ever take Adderall?
Me? Yes.
Yeah, so it's basically Adderall.
Okay, it's against the wellness policy, okay? Shame. Look, what about Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar in a cage?
Oh, well, first of all, this match is definitely going to go last, and I'll tell you why. They need time. The WWE needs time to set up their New World Order sound cannons to fire at the audience if they get unruly. So they're going to need an entire three-hour event to set these bad mother effers up. I don't curse. I know this is a family show. So they're going to set
a family show.
They're going to set these bad MFers up, and it's the same sound cannon technology that the New World Order uses to crush dissidents, and they're crushing all the voters out there, and they're going to use these sound cannons to blow.
Okay, look, who wins, Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar?
Roman Reigns is going to win.
Yeah, okay, that's all I'm asking for.
I'm going a mile a minute. I'm full of steak and nootropics. I got to impart this information onto you in a limited amount of time before the CIA comes back in and takes me back into that vein.
Okay, you know what? Let me ask you here. Here's something you might have information on, okay?
Information war.
What? No. Okay.
There's a war on for your mind.
Please don't plug your show here. What are the stakes of not stakes like the ones you eat?
The stakes?
No. What are the stakes of the greatest Royal Rumble?
Well, first thing you need to know about this Royal Rumble is that all 50 entrants are not the original wrestlers. These are clones that were grown in a lab on Montauk. What is that? You're making a face at me. Look, you don't believe. I got the papers right here. Look,
okay.
I got all the papers from the high level CIA officials. They use the bodies of the superstars to power the lights in a biometric chamber. Okay, and that's the fate. Look, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm fired up, because this is the fate that is going to befall every single one of you if we don't stop these globalists from taking over. They're going to use. Why do you think the TSA is in every airport? They upload your biometrics.
Okay, all right. Who's winning the greatest Royal Rumble? One name answer.
Bobby.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Newman. Alex Newman Jones. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah. Well, also, wait. AJ Styles is going to retain that belt because he knows the earth is flat.
Okay.
On the back of a turtle. The earth is on the back of a giant turtle.
Oh, my God. All right.
He manages to get in every single time.
Unbelievable. Okay, well, look, I don't know. It's greatest Royal Rumble. You heard the predictions there. That's what's going to happen. Let's move on to Raw, okay?
Because
So here's the deal. So Roman Reigns, we open up Raw with Brock Lesnar. We opened up with a Bruno Sammartino tribute, which is nice. It just parlays into Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns gets a little snippet in there and like somehow manages to come off so disingenuous.
Yeah.
I got the clip here. Let's do this.
He held the championship for over 7 years. Bruno's a legend.
Like, what? Like, that's not a sentence anyone would say.
No.
That is the most scripted.
Also,
and you couldn't make it sound natural at all.
Also, duh. Like, you're not. That's not. Like, what? Who doesn't know that
he held the championship for over 7 years? He's a legend. Like, yeah. It's the least warm thing. Right. Then they cut to Triple H just crying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which also was confusing to me, but I was like, I guess they were close. I don't know, but whatever. I'm sure they were. But it's like the guy is so wooden. And also, they said it also hits more to defend Roman a little bit. It sets Roman. They set him up for failure.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know about Bruno Sammartino. Tino, that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Bruno Sammartino. Right. I know he's good. I know the guy looks like a walking barrel.
Yeah.
Amazing look. Yeah. I mean, the guy looks like a wrestler.
There's a great, I'll send it to you. It's a great segment with him and Roddy Piper. Or Roddy Piper. And Piper's just going off on him. And he calls him the W word. I don't know if I should say it.
I can't even
he's
think
Italian.
What that is.
He's Italian.
I can't
the
even,
W.
I don't even know what that is.
O-P.
Oh,
is how it's spelled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Is that? I don't really know about that.
I don't know. I don't
slur.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
as a guy, I'm only stage Italian. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
actually
playing tomorrow. I'm playing a pizza chef in a commercial. So even though I'm Jew, baby. Yeah. Anyway, that's if you need a little insight into Hollywood. Okay, you don't need to watch La La Land. You can listen to comedians of wrestling.
See you, fourth wall.
Okay, so look. Roman Reigns, they opened up Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Lesnar opened up Raw. During this segment, Heyman's going on a whole rant. I'm watching it. He's got the long tie, Trump style, down to the tip of his wings. And I'm watching it, and I go, wow, wrestling. What a bad state wrestling is right now. I mean, Brock Lesnar's up there. The guy, he doesn't look like primo Brock Lesnar.
No.
He's either losing weight to fight in UFC or he's just tired. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He looks bad. He looks like bad. And not in a way where I'm like, he's old. I just mean, like, the guy's clearly not like, oh, I'm going to be on TV tonight. I better get ready.
Right, right, right.
And during Paul Heyman's rant, you see Brock Lesnar zone out.
Yeah,
you see, I'm telling you, go back, watch it. His eyes, I know the look of zone out. I was a high school zone out. You know what I mean? Not a dropout. I went to high school, but I zoned out.
Yeah,
I had to teach myself everything at night.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you're like, yeah, I'm zoning out also. I think Heyman's on autopilot. We're all zoning out because what are we talking about here?
Right. Yeah.
There's no interesting feud. What were you going to
say? I was going to say he did like Brock started pretty well. Like, he was like doing the goosebump, he like showed his goosebumps and he was like pretty animated, and it was kind of charming the way he started, but then it, he had maybe like a minute of that in him before he just started drifting.
Yeah.
Thinking about hunting Wolverines.
Absolutely.
Or
and then when Roman Reigns' music hit, people cheered just because music hit.
Yeah.
Like, you know they're not cheering because Roman Reigns is coming out. They were like, oh, yeah, music. They're like, all right, cool. There's someone coming out here. Roman Reigns came out. Obviously, they don't trust him with the microphone. So he says one sentence that was not even a not even a nicely scripted sentence.
That home.
He said, he said, like, I don't know how I'm getting back, but I'm going back with the championship belt, but, which I guess was referring to the fact that Heyman said he was going to be, like, chopped up into pieces. It's like, how I'm... But it was like, I don't know how...
Maybe he hasn't booked his flight home yet.
Yeah, it's like, you're going to come back on a plane.
Yeah.
It wasn't worded correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to say one... I get it. Look, as a guy who misspeaks a lot, you guys know that.
Holy motherfucking shit.
You know, as a guy, I understand, but if I'm going to say one sentence, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to make sure it contextually fits with what I'm saying. But... Man, Roman Reigns, he's out there, and it's just like I said last week, that was the week I said was Roman Reigns' truest rock bottom moment, where he's ripping on Samoa Joe for being fat, even though he doesn't have the balls to take his own t-shirt off.
Right.
He's talking about Brock Lesnar not being there when it's like, dude, that ship has sailed. Brock Lesnar doesn't need to be there because he beats you handily.
Right, yeah.
So that's not a good argument. You should be probably in the weight room.
Right.
Shows no humility, doesn't say like, hey, I was the worst man that night. No, comes out, starts talking about conspiracies.
Yeah.
That was his first promo post losing to Lesnar. It was like, I don't know what's going on. He signed a contract. Contract doesn't matter. You lost the match, dude.
Right.
Say you lost. Show some humility. Bow down. I've seen Brock Lesnar lose UFC fights where he goes like, he was the better man.
Right.
Brock Lesnar, we're talking about. Brock.
Right. Yeah.
Lesnar. And this guy doesn't do that. So it's all heel, but it's not even heel. It's not even nuance. It's just a guy who's just like saying stuff.
Yeah. And I wonder though if
Roman Reigns
like...
is, this is my last point. It's like Roman Reigns is the XFL.
Yeah.
Like that's what I keep saying. He's the guy like Vince, he won't give up on him and he won't change it.
Yeah.
He won't change the name. He's like, no, this is, you get this. But then also, it's like, fine, I'll buy that. But then why did you not let him win at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
You pulled out everything. The only thing the guy had going is that Roman Reigns is unbeatable.
Yeah.
It's the only thing he had. And now you just have a guy who is beatable.
Yeah.
He's not unstoppable. He's not like someone to look up to. He's not a superhero and he's not a role model.
Right.
So what is he?
He's Joe from Pensacola.
Absolutely. But the only thing that's good is that in Roman's, the Roman Reigns experiment has only done really one thing. I mean, it solidified him as a good worker.
Sure.
Which is fine. I mean, you wrestle that many matches, fine. But also it's created, like in his ashes, has created stars like Seth Rollins.
Right.
Seth Rollins is directly trackable to Roman Reigns' failures.
Yeah.
And so that's great. The question is, do we just get super Seth Rollins out of that, or do we actually get a new star? Is Samoa Joe going to like become a big star, pouncing on the fact that Roman Reigns can't capitalize on this spot they give him? And also, like I always say, some of the writing was off. What were you going to say?
Oh, just that I wonder if they're... like, I wonder if backstage, if they're, and I fucking don't care about this, but like, if backstage they're like, they are kind of mad at Roman, if they blame him for the fact that there's like, that there's like this mixed reaction for him and all this. And that's why they're sort of like, maybe they've given up on him, you know, like Vince maybe hasn't, but they're just sort of like, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it feels like everything they do with him is like, hold on, let me just get a little 1%er whoop ass, a little pop into a LaCroix. Hold on.
Is that a what brand is that?
What is that?
This is an off-brand LaCroix. What it's an audio medium. You don't have to tell the audience.
We're living a lie, man.
You don't have to tell them I can't afford LaCroix. Okay, man. This is 50 cents cheaper.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
If it was 50 cents cheaper, it'd be 10 cents.
No, yeah. For the 12 pack.
They paid you to drink it.
Okay.
Also, I want to note that I have the fridge. Cal fridge is stocked with LaCroix.
Yeah.
And Dan, of course, still spent his own money.
The last thing I'll say is, I mean,
that's
because
I'm
know,
fucking rich.
I didn't know we had motherfucking Topo Chico up in this
piece.
I love that. I love that shit.
Okay, back to wrestling. Come on, guys.
Should have known better, dude.
But, one thing that is not being mentioned is like as a creative person.
Uh-huh.
An actor, writer, improvise, or not. I will say that, like, I understand in big moments changing creative last second.
Right.
It's like everyone has it, that nervousness of like, is this wrong? Is this wrong? Like, I've had like specifically the times I've like showcased for big things or whatever that I didn't get, guys. That's why I'm here. Like, I'm like, oh no, I got to change the order. No, that character's not going to hit or like something.
Right.
And you just start flipping out. And Vince it's on such a bigger scale.
Right.
That I understand why he's like, we got to change this. We got to change this. And I also understand why Lesnar would be mad as a guy out there and they're changing it on the fly.
Right, right.
You know? But, I mean, that was one of the biggest miscalculations I can ever think of. And I just, like, it sits with me so hard. You're like, man, 4 years in a row, this guy has headlined WrestleMania. This really was his crowning moment.
Right, yeah.
To just, like, take it away from him in such a miserable fashion, and now he's gonna win the belt at 9 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna be awake.
It's like, man, what did we gain here?
Yeah,
what just delaying it a month? It's like, not, it's like just because the crowd will just cheer. Is it about crowd cheers?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that it? Because if it's about crowd cheering, you're not gonna get it from Roman Reigns unless the guy takes that shirt off.
Yeah.
Take off the vest and show. He has to change his humility. And he won't be able to do it because he's not John Cena as a guy. Right. Forget the character.
Right.
Because as scripted as they are, there's times where I see Reigns be a little off the cuff, and when he does it, he acts like a punk.
Right.
He does not act. I don't ever see him shit. Look, does he ever see him like touch, like hug a kid?
No.
Right?
Not once.
No.
No. Not even a fist bump.
Right. He's like the embodiment of privilege.
Yeah.
He's like an entitled dude. It's really strange.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's like you can analyze it forever because it just makes no sense.
Yeah, So on the topic of him, you know, taking off the shirt and kind of like maybe they need to like rebrand him. So I discovered something. Do you remember the show Renegade with Lorenzo Lamas?
No.
Yes,
you do.
Okay. Yes.
So it used to come
actually,
on.
Actually, I actually have the theme
USA.
Song right here. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
That's the theme song for our contest.
Yeah. Lorenzo Lamas, it's Renegade. Comedians of Wrestling. Okay.
So this show, it used to come on after Raw back in the 90s.
Wait, I'm sorry. I actually do have the theme song. I think this is it. We're not afraid. Yeah.
You were joking before, but this is the actual
one. This is actually it. Well, actually, this is when Renegade, you know, they had the Monday night show and then the Tuesday night show.
Right.
And then they combined Lorenzo. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Anyway, what's your point?
So
it couldn't have interrupted harder. I apologize.
Okay. No. So in that show, Lorenzo Lamas plays a guy named Reno Reigns.
Wow.
Okay. And he doesn't look dissimilar to Roman Reigns.
Wow.
Now, this is a show that was on USA Network. Okay. So if you look him up, I think
I'm gonna look it up right now.
I'm gonna make a bold declaration that Roman Reigns is based on Reno Reigns, and I think that they need to lean further into Reno Reigns. Give this dude a bike. Give him like a what are they called? Dream catcher in his hair. Make him like this like biker bounty hunter guy, and just fucking lean into the what I think is the original inspiration for Roman Reigns.
What, Reno, like R-E-E-N-O?
Like the city, like the biggest little city in the world.
Well, I guess that would be only one.
And then Reigns, as in the rains, like from the sky.
Oh, like Reigns. It's like Vin. No. Played by Lorenzo Lamas. Here, images. I mean, I can't wait to see this image. I've never been so excited for an image. Wow.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Give Roman that look. Problem solved. Look it up right now when you're listening to this podcast.
This is all to say that Roman Reigns will not work in his current iteration.
Right.
That version of Roman Reigns died on April 8th. Any hope of Superman Roman Reigns was dead when he started to bleed and take six F5s.
Yeah, or fucking have him deleted. Have him deleted and have Brother Joe.
I think it's just simpler. Just turn him heel. You know what I mean? Like, have him heel and just even give him more armor. Have him walk around with the Authors of Pain or whatever. And, like, just they can drive a tank.
Yeah.
Borrow Rusev's tank.
Yeah.
They can just plow through everyone. Roman Reigns can just start. Just make the Superman punch, like, literally, like, go through people's faces. Whatever. All right. Let's move on from Roman Reigns. I mean, God, will we ever stop talking about this guy? Okay. So, the next thing I want to talk about is probably not people's number two thing, but something I absolutely loved about SmackDown this week was Carmella.
Yeah.
I think this was Carmella's coming out party this week. I thought this segment was, no exaggeration, perfect. It was by far the best contract signing I remember in recent history. Those are always kind of just a waste of time, right?
Yeah.
But this segment solidified Carmella's character. Now, last week I was saying that I was worried she was bleeding into Alexa Bliss, and then this week reminded me about what makes her distinct.
Yeah,
and what makes her distinct is that she's an absolute piece of trash.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I
she's
love about
trash.
Her. Yeah,
and look, that's great. That's a great character.
Yeah.
I've seen Carmella in real life, and like the makeup she's wearing is like on TV, it's insane.
Yes.
She does not look like that at all.
Yeah.
They make her, they give her the worst makeup. She has this like disgusting hair extensions.
Yeah.
Well, I guess she's on Total Divas. I don't watch, but like, she is not saying I'm from Staten Island just because it's like, all right, let's make her a little more broad, right? Mm-hmm. But like, she is a girl from Staten Island. And actually, right. any dude who grew up near where I grew up, I dated this girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I can't handle this person.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm saying she has no class.
Right.
She's like cockroach.
Yeah.
She's like disgusting. It's, yeah. But not like, I don't mean in her looks. I just mean the character is like
despicable.
Off-putting. If she walked into a room, everyone would be looking at her. If she was waiting for a plane at the airport, everyone would be like, look at this person.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. What is she doing?
Yeah.
She would unplug somebody's phone to charge her phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She'd be like, whatever, I do what I want.
Yeah. Like, she'd be in like a line at Wendy's complaining that, don't you think they should open up another register?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You
know, where's the manager?
And it's just like it's amazing. Like, it all, and to me, the moment started when she wiped her feet onto Charlotte after she cashed in.
Yeah,
that was great. I hope she stops, doesn't cry. I don't think crying fits that character unless it's like
like
it can't
child,
be
like
about
petulant.
Actual achievements,
right? Yeah,
yeah. It has to be about somebody like, I don't know, like doing something. It has to be a tantrum,
right? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But I thought this was like her coming out party.
Yeah.
I thought, and I'm going to say something bold. This is exactly what I would do if I was a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
This is exactly how I would act.
Yeah.
Like an arrogant heel. Now, Alexa Bliss is like sorority girl.
Right.
She's like, I'm the victim. Where like Alexa Bliss is like someone who's like slighted. It's all like if you break down this character, it's like someone who like, it's all like she's walls of defense around her.
Right.
You know she's weak on the inside.
Yeah.
And on the outside, but it's all pageantry.
Right.
Great. Loved it. The outfit, the colors she wears. I go, I'm looking at the outfit and I go, why is she wearing that? The color looks bad. And I go, oh, I'm getting worked. I am getting worked. It's supposed to look bad.
Yeah.
Who wears a Gucci print? Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it was great. And then her promo just like was so annoying. And then she shows the package from last week.
Twice.
She's upset that why would the champion be announced? Why would the champion be announced first? She's mad at Renee.
Yeah.
Renee obviously slighted her. Because she, in her mind, Renee has no class.
No.
She's trash. She's eyeing up Renee's nails that are just actually nice.
Yeah.
I loved it. Then she shows that package again, and the package is done so well. The song is Money, Fame, and Power. I was like, oh man, she showed it again. I thought that was amazing. And then when it got really amazing, first of all, she had the crowd like wrapped around her finger.
Oh, yeah.
She's great. Do you see how small her waist is?
Yeah.
The belt is like on the last loop.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is she wearing that backwards hat? I'm like, it looks so bad. Get that off her. She's like a beautiful woman. And then I'm like, oh, it's supposed to look terrible. Oh, God, it's great. Anyway, so then Charlotte comes out.
Yeah.
And this is where this angle, I was like so excited. Because what they did is they made Charlotte the classiest queen.
Mm-hmm.
She comes out and like, she looks perfect.
Yeah.
She had like it looked like the sun was her spotlight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she walks out the ring, and then you got this trash bag who's half her size.
Yeah.
Just so Charlotte sits down like a queen, and then I'm mansplaining this segment as hard as I can because I thought it was so fantastic. Carmella won't sit down. She's just going, I'm the champion, woo, screaming at the top of her lungs like an idiot. And then Renee, who was so good, is like, could you please sit down? Like, please be a professional.
Be a professional.
She's like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then when she finally sits down, she's like, oh, fine, whatever. Then, like, Charlotte, which is like, actually, Carmella is so good here that it's the first time that Charlotte has, like, a defining quality in a long time for me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Like, they're playing it up that, like, it's a class battle.
Right.
What
right.
this is, right?
Yes.
The person who cheated to get the title.
Right.
Who's, like, clearly not on the level of the pedigree of the Flairs.
Right.
The dynasty of the Flairs. The classiest dynasty. I love that
if
word.
If anything.
The Flairs are the classiest.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Oh, man. She sits down. Charlotte. You say you know the writing was good here. And by the way, sometimes I crap on the writing and crapped on the Reigns thing. When it's good, I really like, you know, this is a moment where I stood up during the segment and clapped at my TV by myself.
That's great.
In my room. Well, my dog was there.
Shout out Dennis.
Yeah, shout out Dennis. What up, dude? But Labradoodle World Order. He's the LWO. Labradoodle World Order. That's a mouth.
I can't believe you got it out the first time, to be honest.
Labradoodle World Order. All right, new shirt. Come into the Pro Wrestling Tees shop / Comedians of Wrestling. Pick up one of our shirts. Labradoodle World Order. So anyway, where was it? Oh, Charlotte starts like moving her hand like so daintily.
Yeah.
Right? Like she's like a queen. Like, oh, I guess I have to pick up this pen.
Right.
She hasn't done anything all day. Somebody dressed her and painted her and airbrushed her. Yeah. And like whatever she's doing with her face, people are saying, oh, she got plastic surgery.
Who cares?
Looks great.
Yeah, she looks great.
Looks great. Statuesque.
Yeah.
She sits down and she picks up the pen, signs it. And then the only thing she says is, woo! Everyone loves it. That's it.
Yeah.
And everyone gets into it. And then Carmella gets her putting the title in her face like trash. And then she just, with one hand.
Yeah.
Slams Carmella's face into the table and she folds like an accordion.
Yeah.
Like she like just falls apart. Yeah. This person has been pompous for 20 minutes. This was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
The storytelling here, storytelling.
Well, because it's classic storytelling too. Like it feels like you could take this exactly what you said, like this classless person with the belt versus the most classy person without the belt.
Right.
This is like something that's from like, put this in any era, any wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like they both were vibing off of each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just classic. I hope they're able to have like a captivating match. Carmella needs to cheat and she needs to cheat hard.
Right.
You know, to make it like she's not going to be able to wrestle with, they're already established. She can't wrestle Charlotte, which is great. Let's not pretend she can.
Right.
Okay. If Charlotte gets her hands on her, the match is over.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah, but, one thing Carmella does is really nice is, like with her as her character, she does like a mob boss kind of like, shift in her voice, mm-hmm. like a pitch switch. Like yeah. She'll just be like, and all of you need to respect me or you're going in the grinder. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
She does the thing where it's like, oh, okay. You don't want to do it, that's okay, but you're dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She does that in like the lady voice, and yeah. It's fantastic. And the sky, Carmella, if she can keep it going, the sky's the limit for her. I'm not saying she's not going to have hiccups down the road,
right.
But you tell me another wrestler on the women's roster. To me, it's Charlotte, Alexa, and they're Carmella with the most potential. And I know I'm leaving Asuka out.
Right.
But Asuka's character does not make even close to the amount of sense that Carmella does.
Right.
You could do so. If I'm a writer, give me Carmella. Asuka, all I can do with her is have her win.
Right.
You know? That's how I see it. I will be picking up a piece of Carmella merch this
nice.
Week because of her work this week. Fantastic. What are you, any other last thoughts there?
No. No. Just that I would be. I say this on the Facebook page. Talk about Wrestling 4 in the Morning. Like, I can definitely like Carmella. Like if I was 8 years old, I can imagine being 8 years old, and just being in love with Carmella.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like just completely enamored, head over heels. It was the same thing with Sunny and the Body Donna. Like she was a complete asshole, and I was like 8 years old, like totally into it.
Yeah, and she worked really hard, you know?
I mean,
good for her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a better character than Nia Jax. I'm sorry. Nia Jax is like, they're finding Nia Jax because they're like, oh, she's just such a great, warm human being.
Right.
That's what they're finding with her. But Carmella, like, man, when she won that Money in the Bank, remember she was cutting promos that we were super into with Ellsworth?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they iced her with they're like, oh, we're going to wait on you.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have been able to push her faster if she wasn't the Money in the Bank winner. But it's okay. That patience always pays off.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Okay, so here's something I want to talk about that people were mentioning a bunch on the Facebook page, where we talk about wrestling at 4 a.m. Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Check it out. I like to follow. We have a thread going. There's live threads for like Raw and SmackDown and Raw. There was a lot of talk about Booker T coming back.
Yeah.
So Booker T returned. I don't think it's the most hot button thing, but I want to say that like people have been enjoying that we break down things in terms of like comedy.
Sure.
We're both comedians. We're studied improvisers. My friend and Booker T was terrible.
Yeah,
as an announcer, and I was like, okay, this is bad. He said something. Ooh, I kept making faces. Like, what? What? And so I went back and I watched like two matches in a row. I believe it was the Elias Bobby Roode match,
uh-huh.
And then I bled into the Woken match versus Ascension. And I want to explain why Booker T was so bad.
Got it.
Okay? And I'm not saying Booker T is bad at his job. He could have that job, but it's more like here's some notes for Booker T.
Sure. Some adjustments.
Absolutely. And the main thing for Booker T is that like he does what I call like he does like no no's, right? So in terms of wrestling, like in terms of like yes end, right? And all this stuff translates to wrestling. It's all about like the performers about like yes ending each other. We know that in wrestling, in improv. You say somebody says something, you say yes to it, and then you add to it.
Right.
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 Simple. If you're competing announcers, right? You're on the you know, we're doing heel face announcer. It's important to say yes no's.
Yes.
Like where you say, oh, I disagree, but you add to what they're saying.
Right.
He does none of that. He shuts everything down.
Like so disagree and then add like why. Like what your their perspective, like why they think you're wrong.
He just shuts down ideas, right? So like I have some examples of it. And like keep in mind, this is also a guy like Booker T who's the story, like he is credited as like burying the Bucks when they auditioned for WWE.
Right.
Because he didn't like shake their hand and stuff. Seems like a guy who like has got some kind of walls up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know the guy. I'm sure he might be a nice guy. I literally have no idea.
Yeah.
But like to put it in perspective, Corey Graves is great.
Yes.
He does a great job. All right, so let's listen to these drops, and I think this will give you a perspective. So, like, one thing that happens is, like, Michael Cole was just, like, saying that Elias keeps in great shape, right?
Yeah.
So, here's the sound drop.
In impeccable shape does glorious Bobby Roode.
Both of these guys are in great shape, Cole.
Okay, so what do we gain there?
Right.
He says that, right? Now, you could be like, yeah, he's in great shape, but... Whoever he's defending, which guy? He's defending
Roode.
If he's like, he's in great shape, but Roode has cardio that outmatches Elias's, right?
Or take it even further. Yeah, he's in great shape, but Bobby Roode's figure is glorious.
Perfect. That's Graves-esque.
Yeah.
That's where Graves likes to, oh, I hear what you said, and I tie it into their gimmick, tie it into what their character is.
Yeah.
So yeah, like right, do you connect with that?
Yeah,
I'm saying like, don't just say
you're wrong.
You're wrong. They're both in good shape. Why did you say that? No, just completely shutting down the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible, terrible, terrible announcing.
Right.
He constantly ending the conversation. Okay, So here's an example of Graves saying a no. Yes. Okay. Right. Ready.
Comer here on Monday Night Raw, had some huge victories in his young career so far, and would love to win the Royal Rumble event Friday.
Listen, Cole, did you just call Elias an up-and-comer?
Yeah, he's been here for a cup of coffee, Corey.
The main event star, let's be honest. What he lacks is musical ability, he more than makes up for in his in-ring acumen. Elias is a serious threat to be taken.
Okay, right? So there we go. He goes like, okay, Elias, he calls him an up-and-comer.
Right.
And then he goes, no. He says no because he's defending his guy.
Right.
But then he goes right into being like, no, yeah, look, he might suck at instruments,
which
wasn't even part of it.
Right.
But he's basically saying like, yeah, he's new and here's his gimmick, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Even though he's playing foil. Now listen where this actually goes. Hopefully I can keep playing the clip from where it was.
Comer here on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, no.
Had some huge victories.
Okay, here's what. Listen to what
so
Booker adds to the end of this, okay?
To win the Royal Rumble event Friday.
Listen, Cole, did you just call Elias an up and comer?
Yeah, he's been here for a cup of coffee, Corey.
The main event star. Let's be honest. What he lacks is musical ability, he more than makes up for in his in ring acumen. Elias is a serious threat to be taken.
Up and comer, meaning he's only been here for a short amount of time. He's indeed a main eventer. I'm one of his biggest fans.
Why is he so combative?
Right, I know. Ever since you left.
Yeah, he's just like, why are you so combative?
Does he not?
It's because he's the heel announcer.
Yeah.
This is exposing his game.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Corey, you're being really mean.
Yeah. Why are you saying the opposite thing of me?
Right.
It's just exposing what they're doing.
Well, doesn't he not like Corey?
That's a work.
Was that a work?
That was a work. Yeah, that was a work. They love each other.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. They're working together.
Right.
If we hate each other, we still have to respond to each other, and I absolutely hate you. Okay. Now, I hate you. I really hate you. Now, yes, end it.
Oh, wait, you can't do that to me.
Yeah,
you can't just say, yes, and this.
Say I hate you to me, then.
I hate you. I really hate you.
You know what? Fine. I know you do hate me, and I know why.
Okay,
it's because I fucked your girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I've added to it, right?
Right.
None of that. Now, say you hate me.
I hate you.
Dude, why are you saying negative things about
me? Right.
Where do we go from there?
Right,
we
nowhere.
Get trapped in a, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, like, this is why he's bad. I find this super interesting. You digging this?
Yes.
All right, sweet. I got more. So, all right. So Cole later on, Cole has nothing to say. So he turns to Booker to be like, all right, you're the color guy or whatever. What do you got to say about broken Matt Hardy?
The color commentary guy. Let's clarify that.
What did I say?
You said the color guy.
Oh, shit.
I know what you
right,
know.
Right,
I know.
Right,
I'm
okay,
just, you
right,
know,
right,
color commentary
like,
guy.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Booker, what do you make about all this?
I don't know.
It's weird, man. It's weird.
Okay.
What do you make of this, Booker? Shucky Ducky. I don't know.
Yeah. He goes, it's weird. Like, what do you make of Bray Wyatt, a cult member, has joined up with a guy who says he's a vessel for the seven deities,
right?
It's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't add anything. It's super vague. It's not specific at all.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, because at least say, like, then he should have been like, Bray Wyatt, you know, we remember him. You know, he would play mind games. He could manipulate people. So imagine the kind of mind games and manipulation that Matt Hardy is capable of.
Right.
If he can ensnare Bray Wyatt of all people.
Right. And even if you want to, that's great and specific. Let's say he doesn't even know all that.
Right.
Can't he just say, like, okay, you go like, what do you make of all this? You could be like, you know what? Look, I don't even know what to make of all this. The whole thing's so perplexing to me. I stay up at night thinking about this.
Right.
I hug my kids hoping that none of these guys show up in my house. Right?
Yeah.
And then you don't even need... That's just fucking play into the thing.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt are performing their asses off.
Right.
And you half-ass it? Don't just show up to the job. I'll take that fucking job. WWE, if you're listening, I'll come in there. I'll bring the heat, baby.
Yeah, the Harlem Heat.
Actually, yeah. I'm coming for you. Never mind. All right. Anyway, all right. Do we have to scratch that?
No.
All right. Man, anyway. Okay. Yeah, but right. You know what I'm saying? If WWE is listening, right, which, by the way, my stance on this has always been. So for new listeners, I pitch a lot of things on the show that make it onto the show,
right,
and a lot of people listen to the show think that WWE might be listening and taking stuff. Who knows? I mean, the only thing that ever makes me think it is now Aiden English raps.
Right.
That is the one thing I'm like, I said he should rap.
Yeah, yeah.
Before he does Rusev Day. It's so specific.
What was the other one, too? Somebody posted it on the Facebook page, Talk About the Wrestling for the Morning.
For the Morning.
It was something else. Yeah, but yeah. I forget what it is.
I don't know what it was. Okay, so you want to hear another Booker T?
Okay,
Booker T. So he goes, Michael Cole mentions, like, as you would say, as Booker T would say, it's a big dude, okay? And listen to his responses.
Big dude, as Booker would say.
O'Connor, he's a big guy.
Okay, so he doesn't even, he's a big guy. He doesn't even go like, yeah, I say big dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, this is what you say.
Yeah.
And he just goes, yeah, he's a big guy.
Do
I say that?
I wonder if he was going through something like on that.
Look, he's definitely rusty. He's coming back. It's his first time there. But I'm actually just, this is nothing to do with Booker T per se.
Right.
This is actually just shows you, it was someone left a cash in at one point. I believe it was Jabroniak Joe Kibler. He left a message saying, like, do we need heel babyface announce teams? And I think ultimately, as that question has hit me, it doesn't matter.
Right.
All you need is two guys working together.
Right. Yeah.
You need two guys who are saying yes to each other's ideas, even if they're saying no.
Right.
So, like, in an improv scene, somebody says, Somebody goes like, oh, I'm drunk, but I'll drive you home. You don't go like, no, I'm not getting in the car. Right. You go like, oh, shit, I really need to get home, let my dog out. Fine, I'll get in the car with you. Even though I disagree with this fundamentally.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you still get in the car. Right. A yes, no.
Moves.
That's
forward.
All you need. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, if WWE, if you're listening, I know you're into improv workshops. I'll teach him. This is what I'll teach. Give me Booker T. I'll fix the guy. Anyway, cool. All right, so that's our segment, Why Booker T is Bad at Announcing.
Or Why Booker T Should Take a 101. Just take an improv 101, get out of your head. I don't miss Coach, but I think Corey just brings a level of preparation to the job that if somebody else isn't doing that, then it's glaring.
Yeah, I mean, Coach was fine. Coach was better than that, a lot better than
right.
that. Anyway. Okay, so let's move on to a next segment of the show. Okay, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. Yeah. Okay, let's just get... I got this promo, and this promo was worth just playing on the show. What do you think?
Yeah.
This man right here is dangerous.
He's right. I am dangerous. I'm especially dangerous to a locker room that's apparently gone soft. I walk around, I see no fire, no ambition, people just collecting checks, and it makes me sick.
Crowd's into it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a superstar looks like.
Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is how a superstar speaks, and I got all the credentials in the world to back it up. And you can trust me when I tell you, the times are a-changing. I'm not what WWE wants. I am the wake-up call and reality check this place desperately needs.
Okay, so what did you think of this promo?
I mean, I am very much into this. I didn't realize he could even talk like that. Because in NXT, I mean, he was in NXT for such a short period of time.
Yeah.
Didn't impress me on, like, the mic at all. He's a gorgeous, jacked dude. So he has that going
gorgeous.
For him. I mean, he's
beautiful,
a
man.
Movie star.
Absolutely.
I was so jazzed by this. I love this.
Yeah. So, look, the line specifically for me is... This is what a superstar looks like.
He's so right.
And like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Look, it's a great angle. Now, look, this is, and I was on Masked Man today and I didn't really get to make this point. I just kind of said like, yeah, man, that's what a superstar looks like. Look, I understand Kevin Owens' ability.
Right.
Of Kevin Owens is incredible. I'm saying that there is always room for a nice, jacked up dude, baby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm saying there's always room for that archetype. And there is a thing where it's like times are changing. It is a great angle for Ziggler and McIntyre. Two guys who are traditional looking wrestlers who got all the talent in the world who would be angry about all these like guys like Zayn and Owens who, let's be frank, don't work as hard in the gym as these guys.
Right.
That's
right.
Just a fact.
Right.
Kevin Owens is probably snacking on flights.
Yeah.
These guys are not. Yeah. I mean,
they got macronutrients they're tracking and...
I'll just break the wall. Like, I'm friends with Dolph Ziggler. We know this, right? Yeah. Friends of the show. I'm hotshotting myself. It's all good going into business for myself. I have a Ziggler bias. So we know this. This guy takes real good care of himself.
Yes.
Okay? So it's just like, it's like, yeah, those guys should be angry.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's it. It doesn't mean there's not space for both of them, but the angle of like, hey, all right, fatso.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's fine.
Yeah.
I get it. You're cute. You got a lot of wit.
Right.
But try and move me.
Right, right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right.
It's just like, yeah.
I also
know.
Love the finish, too. The big...
The Claymore kick, into the zigzag.
Oh, yeah.
It
looks cool.
It's great. But I think also it's just like the locker room's got soft. There's no fires, no ambition. The also element of hits of McIntyre is that McIntyre is a guy who got cut. He got cut. He was in three-man band.
Yeah.
Didn't look remotely this jacked. Left. Worked his ass off. I saw this guy at PWG. He walked in there. It was like Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, like the spotlight, the sun, like you're like, what is this guy doing in this bingo hall?
Right.
He came out like the, you know, like he had like the Triple H leather undies on, yeah, like, yeah, like he wore like that big trench coat. And you're like, these other guys look like they're like flippy doo weasels. You know right. what I mean? Like they're really talented, but you're like, this guy's like a golden god.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's play that up. I really hope they don't just burn these guys as a tag team.
I don't think they will.
I really hope that they play it where, like, Ziggler's the main guy, and McIntyre backs him up until he gets into the spot where he's, and they challenge each other for the belt, and we work a story there.
But I hope that that's not for, like, 2 years.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I want this to go on for a long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just, it's, I think he says reality check. What I think what's super interesting about this is I do think we need to level out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
We need to level out to this place where it's like, just because you're like an indie darling doesn't negate the fact that this guy is yoked up and can work. Drew McIntyre can do flips to the outside.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like 6'5".
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, it should be all talent is talent. That's what it is. It's just like all talent is talent.
Yeah, but let's.
And
not,
I do think
yeah.
this is a moment.
Yeah,
I think like man, I don't know what I do think there is a moment of like the bodybuilder types, the body guys taking some share back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was just gonna say like let's not forget like from his perspective, let's not forget that this is professional wrestling.
Yeah,
and like this is how. People, if you picture, it's like how if you tell people to draw a scientist, most people draw somebody that kind of looks like Albert Einstein.
Right.
If you draw some, you tell somebody, hey, draw a professional wrestler. They're going to draw a guy that looks like Drew McIntyre.
Right.
They're not going to draw a guy that looks like Sami Zayn.
And let's remember that the match that popped Raw on Monday the hardest was Lashley and Strowman.
Ugh.
Beating the crap out of Owens and Zayn.
Yeah.
And also the one of the match that like the Strowman Nicholas thing, like that, you know what I mean? That
yeah.
That's like a big guy. Like, there's space for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not pretend there's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Bodies,
that's all I'm saying.
Bodies versus noddies.
The body, now, always, Mike, bodies versus noddies. But Mike's skills is always the number one credential.
Mm-hmm.
That let's not get that twisted.
Okay.
Like, if you are slick on the microphone, there's always a spot for you
right.
in wrestling. But I do think there's something there, too. Anyway, cool. I did see this as, like, a direct attack on the Owen Zane segment.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like it was after, and they didn't call him out or anything.
Right.
But it was just like, oh, you remember those other guys earlier who,
right.
like, don't look like wrestlers at all?
Yeah, he used
look
the word,
at us.
Yeah, he used the word apparently.
Like,
that has apparently gone soft, meaning
yeah.
he's referencing something that he had just seen.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. Well, speaking of big dudes, oh! Oh, my God, Stone Cold!
Oh, hell yeah!
Stone Cold, oh, my God.
Oh, give me a hell yeah!
Wow, Stone Cold Steve Austin in studio. Stone Cold, big fan, man.
Yeah, you're damn right you're a big fan of me. I'm a Texas rattlesnake. I'm a global icon and national treasure.
Yeah, what are you doing here, man?
Well, I came here to cop to something. I gotta be honest with you. I think the reason that some of the boys backstage might be a little soft is because they've been snacking on Sherry's Berries.
Yeah, okay.
You see, I got a delicious platter of Sherry's Berries.
Of them.
I got a delicious basket of Sherry's Berries delivered.
Yeah.
I get them delivered to every show that they do on SmackDown and Raw, and they are delicious. I mean, we got chocolate-covered strawberries.
We got
chocolate-covered.
Okay, yeah, Stone Cold. Yeah, all right. So it sounds like you're trying to shoehorn a sponsor, and we're talking about dudes' bodies.
Okay.
Are you more like you were always kind of what do you consider yourself a body guy? I mean, you're kind of in between. No,
well, I mean, I had a little bit of a sick. I didn't have a six pack. I had like a keg, like a pony keg in my belly. But
okay.
I think more importantly is that you know if you're a body guy, if you're not a body guy, something you can do is order Postmates. Postmates.com is available on an app in the iTunes store.
Okay.
And
yeah. It's okay.
But don't look, if you're counting nutrients, hell, don't order some burrito. Order a quinoa salad that you can get from Blue Apron. Blue Apron.
Yeah.
Blue Apron is a meal prep service. They bring you your meals, you cook them. It's made of great ingredients, and I'm just saying maybe that's why these boys are a little chubby backstage.
Yeah, okay. Is it sounds like you shoehorned a sponsor in that was about food to say that they were eating a lot of that food. I'm not stupid, Stone Cold. I'm just saying. Can you just stick? If you're going to be here,
sure,
with all the respect, can you just tell me, like, do you think that we're seeing a return of the body guy in wrestling?
I think so. I think maybe even the crowd is a little tired of these soft fellas doing the flippy doos. You know, I'm more of like a ground and pound guy, a more traditional ringmaster technician. I think the guys with the pecs and the abs and the beautiful faces look like they belong on Game of Thrones. I think that...
How did you say that?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, okay. There's a big accent on the A there.
I think that, on HBO, on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's where Drew McIntyre looks. And, you know, of course, if you don't have HBO, you can get HBO Go on the App Store iTunes.
Okay.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Sherry's Berry.
Yeah, okay, all right. So, can you get off the table, man? Can you get he's chugging the LaCroix. Zeke, can we get the LaCroix away from him?
Yeah, I'm sorry, hold on.
Yeah, okay, Stone Cold, please, go.
All right, I'm out of here.
Okay,
see y'all down the road.
Yeah. Oh, my God. God, Stone Cold's new catchphrase, I'll see y'all down the road.
It feels very natural.
What did I miss?
Yeah, no, you missed Stone Cold.
No,
yeah,
I missed Stone Cold?
You missed Stone Cold.
I could do without Alex Jones, but I can't believe I missed Stone Cold.
Well, I'll make it up to you here by playing this.
That doesn't make it up to me.
Okay. Anyway, man.
Why are you being so combative?
Listen, okay. Oh, man, I forgot to mention Corey Graves' amazing. When he couldn't think, what could you say about Roman Reigns nowadays? He's like, well, what do I say after he lost to Brock Lesnar? He's not the champion. Roman Reigns. And then he goes,
Roman Reigns is always here.
Roman Reigns is always here. That is what Roman Reigns has been diminished to.
Yeah, ready? Roman Reigns is always here. I'm going to point it when I want you to hit it. This Jamba Juice is nice. You've been working here a while. Is that Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns is always here.
Oh, yeah.
This Marshalls has good deals, man. I got like 18 pairs. Is that Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns is always here.
Oh, man. Yeah, the blue line goes all the way from downtown to Long Beach. And is that Roman Reigns?
Oh, that guy over there?
Yeah,
oh,
in the terminal.
Oh,
is
yeah. That,
that
is, yeah, that's Roman Reigns. And
Roman Reigns is always here.
Oh yeah, man. I'm trying to have sex with my wife and that guy in the corner. I mean, well, that guy.
And this picture you took, is that Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns is always here.
This is like a bit that's going to get old for the listener way before it gets old for us.
Oh man, you know what?
Roman Reigns is always
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. We got to move on. We have to, baby.
I got a bad cold, bro.
Okay, so let's move on to the return of Big Cass.
Oh, yeah.
Now, not the return of him, but this is his, like Carmella, his ex-lady, this was supposed to be his big coming out party.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about it. I think you don't like it, right?
I mean, I have feelings about it, about him and about, I'm sure he's a lovely boy, but yeah. Talk about somebody who needs to take an acting class. Like, I don't understand how you're out for that long and you still can't do it on the mic.
I thought he was way more fluid than he used to be. Like, he used to be way more wooden. He clearly, like, tried there.
Yeah.
I actually think less than his acting being bad. It wasn't good, I agree, but right. Just the crowd was not into it,
right.
Which makes it really difficult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, because then if the crowd's not into it, then you're just saying words from memory to a crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, and that's, like, he had, like, a monologue.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I bet he met with, like, a coach.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, 2 pages.
Yeah.
That was long. That was a lot. If I got that and I had to, like, do it, I would be stressed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I thought, like, nice try with him. Like, so here's what I would say. There's something about it that I loved.
Yeah.
Okay? I definitely think it was, like, all right, he's wearing a suit. He's going to, like, put on the jacket and then wear the watch. It's like, all right, we're going to go the angle. But here's the thing that I think is really nice that they could develop is that, like, similar to Carmella, but not in the same way, he is trash.
Right?
Now, he has a little bit of an I feel pretty thing going on where it's like he literally said a lot of, like, I'm tall, I'm educated, and I'm damn good looking. Yeah. Like, he thinks he's like a fucking stud, but he's literally a 7-foot walking weasel.
Yeah.
Like, he has disgusting facial hair. Uh-huh. He has like a rat ponytail. Uh-huh. He's like,
get him.
What?
You're like roasting him.
Oh,
Hey.
See you, fourth wall.
But,
what's this do?
But no, I like, he's right. Like, I would say that. Would you not describe that as like traditionally disgusting? I'm not saying you're not attracted to him or whatever, but he's like literally like most women would be like, could you please shave?
Yes.
Cut your hair?
When he said that, when he was like, I'm tall, I'm educated, and I'm damn good looking, I literally out loud by myself was like, you know, 1 out of 3. Maybe. Right. You are tall. I will give you that.
Right. But isn't that kind of good? Like, here's what I'm saying. Is that I don't think it's there yet. But the gimmick, he has like an I feel pretty delusion about him. Like, he's delusional. He's like, he thinks he's great looking and he thinks he's the epitome of class.
Yeah.
A guy that I went to school with. Like, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, similar when I dated a Carmella, I've dated guys who are like, hey, I'm a stockbroker. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. What up, dude? Yeah. And they, like, have a Rolex they can't afford.
Right.
And, like, they're like, I'm classy, but you know they're trash. And then they get arrested 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
You read about them on the paper. They're trying so hard to not be what they are. It's like, Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
He's like Saul Goodman.
Right,
which is a good gimmick.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's got the skills to pull it off yet, but it is like he comes out in, like, this bright blue, like, Lloyd Christmas suit, right?
Yeah.
Like, he looks ridiculous. And then he starts saying that Daniel Bryan is like, should be like a union worker. It's like, dude, he's like 5'8 vegan.
Yeah.
You are the union worker.
100%.
Like, you are the guy who should be like cleaning, like putting in tiles and stuff.
Or like standing around a hole while another guy digs that hole.
Yeah. I actually thought this was not a great segment. I think, but I think this character was not framed well by Miz. Like, Miz didn't, like, if you want him to be the straight man, he should be calling out the things I said, right? So in terms of, hey, let's put it into sketch comedy terms, he should have been like, hey, to be honest, look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you look like the guy who's tiling my current bathroom.
Right?
Like someone who's calling out, like, oh, okay, so we're establishing this game that Cass thinks he's the epitome of class.
Right. Yeah, but that makes me think that, are they even...
Where, like, Carmella's are just trash and owns it.
But are you reading that into it? Like, maybe they're not even thinking that it's like...
Oh, you just hit it right in the nose. Of course they're not thinking.
Yeah.
Of course, this is just lines they wrote.
Right.
With no tracking consistency of, like, here's a sketch. And so wrestling works in terms of sketch. And I want to give you the biggest proof of this is Braun Strowman is a sketch.
Yes.
He's a walking comedy sketch.
Yeah.
He follows the rules of threes. Even this week, okay? Rules of threes is a comedy term where it's like, all right, you hit something three times,
right?
And there's just a magic thing about hitting something three times. If you hit it two times, it doesn't feel as good. You're waiting for another, and when you hit something a fourth time, it's like that was too many.
Right.
No one can really explain it. It's just like a rule of comedy.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying for the listeners, obviously.
Yeah.
No.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like writing it down.
Yeah. Write this down.
Three times.
I'll teach you something big. The rule of threes.
Oh,
you
three. I've been doing 16.
The rule of 316.
Imagine that show.
But like, so like Strowman this week had a nice moment where he's like, all right, he ran around the ring and was shoulder blocking Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
He hit him three times outside the ring.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And every time it popped. And
it was
then
shoulder bump.
And then the third one was drop kick, right? Yeah. Like, he switched it up too, but you knew another one was coming.
Right.
Boom. It's a sketch.
Yeah.
Right? When he flipped things, he flipped something small, he flipped something bigger, and then he flipped something impossible.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Sketch comedy.
Yeah.
Heightening, some would say.
Heightening, exactly. So sketch really works nicely in terms of this, but what WWE does is they just do bullet points of like, here's something cool he could say, here's something cool, and they just start over.
Right.
And it felt like Cass was starting over.
Yeah.
Where Carmella was heightening her gimmick constantly.
Yes.
Laying the character game down, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Free lesson, WWE. If you hire me, I will fix WWE. I will be I mean, I'm just, I feel real confident. Bring me in. Although, you know, I've talked to them before, and I think they thought I was too marquee. which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
You, I've acted in scenes with Johnny Depp. Not kidding. Ever heard of him? Ever heard of Johnny Depp? Don't look into his court records. But look into his IMDb. Okay, the guy's on the... I'm not gonna... What am I gonna do? I'm gonna get to Shinsuke and be, oh, Shinsuke, I really love when you do the Kinshasa.
Could you
give me a Kinshasa for my sick grandma? Could you Kinshasa me in video?
Please, Shinsuke, my son, he is sick.
He's very sick.
Absolutely.
He's very sick. All that will heal him is a knee to the face.
Knee to face! Yeah, like... you want someone who's a mark and professional, which is me. But basically, this episode is just an interview.
Right.
Okay? Right. Mock interview. No, but so I'm saying they didn't frame Cass. They left him in the dark there. And like, also one thing is like, they try to shoehorn like a Miz segment, which is about Miz, into, and then like, oh, and Cass, well, it'll also make it about Cass. It should be about one of them, really.
Right. Or just have him come out and be like, just scratch all that bullshit and just have him be like, you don't have a Miztourage. Here I am.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I think was really... So I think this is something cool going on with Cass. He needs new music, even though they keep giving him new music. He needs a song that's like... he should have a song that sounds classy. He should come out to like Sinatra or something.
Oh,
something that he thinks is classy, but it's trash. Like
Mack the Knife.
Yeah, like what? Oh, God, what's a great song for him?
Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I think it's the problem is that's too associated with Italian culture.
Oh, sure.
Like, it's got to be something that's like...
that's life.
Like, I mean, maybe it's not classical music because that's like too on the nose. I think it's like maybe like some Billy Joel or something.
Tom Jones or something.
It's Anthony's
not
song.
It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones.
You should come out to, let's see, what do I got here? Maybe you come out to...
Donkey Shane.
Maybe this. Yeah, maybe.
Rule of threes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I hit it again, it won't be funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If I hit it again, it will not be funny. I don't have a good song for him here. Maybe this one.
Or maybe after you listen to this, if you can think of a good song for Big Cass, go to the...
Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page, 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
Okay. Yeah, and you post it there. But yeah, let's establish that idea. Just make it clear what he is. I think it's actually a nice, nuanced idea for him.
Yeah.
He's a skeeveball. He should go backstage, win matches, and then hit on Renee. Be like, hey, Renee, you want to go out for a steak dinner tonight? And she's like, I have something. Next week. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
I would like, I want to defend myself here.
Oh my! It's Big Cass.
Oh
shit! I don't have your music to play.
That's fine. I don't even know.
How about
know
this? Is this okay?
I don't even know what it is.
How about
That's Randall Orton's.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh my God, Big Cass.
Look,
I'm sorry.
Look. Okay, I'm doing my best out there. Okay, I don't know if you heard me, but when I was in school, I made myself get taller.
Yeah, I noticed you. Oh, Big Cass, I'm glad you came in because I almost forgot this. You said that you willed yourself to be tall.
Yeah.
You were small in school, and you will. That kind of plays into your delusion. I'm sorry.
It's not a story. It's true.
I established the idea.
I was a little boy, and I was tired of getting picked on, so I willed myself to be taller. Just like when I was a soul in heaven, I chose this life so that I could learn the lessons from this life and break myself off of the wheel of birth and death.
Okay, wow. Okay, you just got real, spectral? I'm not sure. It sounds like you were dead. You were a spirit in heaven, willed yourself into the body of Big Cass.
All I'm saying is that I choose what I do. Before I was born, I chose to be born. When I was small, I chose to grow. And now that I'm a professional wrestler, I choose to put in as much effort as I think is necessary.
Yeah, okay. It's hard for me to believe that, but I don't want to be disrespectful. But so it sounds like you're saying that you control every element of your existence, including the out-of-body past, future, time, space continuum of your existence.
Yes.
So what, and what is the furthest extent of that control that you've been able to manipulate.
Well, I've never once had a haircut. I just tell my hair to stop growing, and it stops growing.
Wow. That's further than when you were, you know, before you were born. Well, you decided to be born. You controlled your hair cut.
I'm just trying to illustrate to you the fine detail that I can control. Why do you think my beard looks this way? I want it to look
because
this
you're
way.
Weird. You're just weird. You're just weird.
I'm weird.
That's why, because you're weird. Why see you, how I'm just shutting you, this down by just calling you weird?
Why are you being so combative?
Yeah. I just think, oh man, it's really hard to reset when I just completely shut down everything you were saying by just labeling it weird, right?
Yeah, I'll let Booker T know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, wow. How come you haven't willed yourself into being the champion? I mean, wouldn't that be the main question?
Well, that's outside of my corporeal form. You see, I told you I was educated. If I wasn't educated, would I use the word corporeal correctly?
No, honestly, you wouldn't. But I see a thesaurus.
Oh, this
in your
is
pocket.
No, this is nothing. Yeah. This is a Bible.
Yeah, no, it says the thesaurus Bible. I see it. It says Webster's thesaurus.
It's actually the book,
and it's very tabbed up. It's tabbed up for.
It's the book of thesaurus. It's a book in the
yeah,
Bible.
I don't think that's the book of Thesaurus. Okay.
Well, look at the time on my watch, my big Rolex watch. I think I gotta go.
Yeah, okay. I noticed you did that watch. Oh, you're taking off the watch and the jacket before you leave?
Yeah,
that's
I don't.
Also a weird touch.
Well, I don't know how to wear clothes.
Yeah.
I choose to be in my underwear most of the time. Now I'm putting on suits. Look.
All right, Cass, let's see you all.
I gotta... Carmella, if you're listening, I miss you.
Okay, get out of here. Get out of here. Oh, no, I broke the rule of force.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a bummer. You missed Cass. He came in.
Nah, that's all right.
Yeah, I think one thing that's really nice is they're holding off on the DB and Miz showdown. Mm. I was kind of bummed that Daniel Bryan and Miz were going to have a talk.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's build this up. Let's edge it, baby. Let's edge it. Not and Christian it. let's touch on the Sammy and Kevin show on Raw. One thing is like you mentioned this. What's with the shiny like retro Lisa Frank tables? Like the like aluminum. Like they have like weird squigglies in them. They've had them for a while. They're not new. I just have never mentioned them. Like what's the thought process on those? They're distracting.
Yeah, and I don't the like squiggly in them seems like random. Like I thought it was maybe a design. I'm like, no, it looks like somebody like just kind of like swiped like a thing across it. It's weird.
Yeah, those are weird. I wonder if there's a technical reason, like they break easier or like I don't know, or like whatever. They maybe reflect light on the wrestlers' faces or something.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Maybe.
I doubt it, right? Anyway, this segment was just fine for me. I don't really have anything to like, didn't like stick out to me or anything. I think really because it's like this weird confluence of like two Mania storylines that didn't really work or make sense.
Right.
Like the Rousey match made a lot of sense, but this combination of like now the Sami Zayn angle is connected here and Stephanie, who's not there, combined it. Like it's hard to like be like, why do I care about this? You don't really know. But nice goofs. The fold-up chair was really funny. Zayn wearing the glasses are really funny. They had a nice Jason Jordan dig about like Kurt Angle being an absentee father forgetting that his sixth kid was Jason Jordan. All that was fine. When I'm looking at Kevin Owens, I'm like a big fan of Kevin Owens. I think he's one of the top talents in the company. At times, is the number one talent.
Yeah.
He fluctuates up and down. Does he need to change his look? Like.
Yeah.
Not like I'm saying I don't look, you got to get jacked, though I would love if he pumped up the arms. I like a nice barrel tummy, but with like big ass jacked up fucking Steiner arms.
Tank
hit a
habit.
Little Winstrol in both biceps. But I think he needs more tats.
Yeah.
Like his tats are bad.
Yeah.
And if he's got to choose a tat look, like you're a tat guy. Like he needs to choose like, is he a charm guy? Like, you know, like you know, the tattoo charms.
Sure.
Or is he a sleeve guy and go full sleeve?
He's a full sleeve guy. He needs like a like basically like what Randy Orton has.
Right. You know, totally agree.
Skulls and snakes and fucking
Because it's not like he doesn't have any tattoos.
Right.
If he had none, I'd be like, all right, well, then you can't force tattoos on someone.
Right.
But once you got the bad ones he does have,
right,
why not just fill it out?
Yeah.
Tattoos only look better with more once you have them, I think. What's your stance on tats? You're an actual tat guy.
Like,
if I got one, I would never be like, I have one. I would start the collection.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. It's hard to not. Like, once you get one, they're very addicting.
Yeah.
The only kind I don't like is when it's like random things on your arm. It's like a Yosemite Sam, and there's a Keystone thing, and there's like a bottle of Coca-Cola.
Isn't that called a charm? Like, I always think that's like a charm pattern. Do you know what anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I got you. Like, there's no discernible theme.
Yeah. I think it's also the spacing of it. It's like, oh, they're like, it's full, but there's space, right? It's more like polka dots of tattoos, but also like when they're different sizes. I think that works too, as long as it looks filled in. Everything's got to look like filled in. Like, yeah, let's look at your emo tats. So if you don't know Newman, he's got a nice sleeve tat. I would do way more from you. It costs a lot of money.
It costs a lot of money, and it is on the very bottom of my list.
But ideally, where would you want to be at? With the arms,
probably like a 3/4 on my right arm.
Yeah, 3/4 at least.
Yeah.
I think it would look sweet.
Yeah,
tie that in, and then what about the other arm?
Well, this one is a memorial, so I don't know that I would like add to it, but
you got to go bigger, man. Come on, you want to do a memorial?
You want another one of my friends to pass away?
Absolutely. I might just kill myself just so you could fill out that arm.
Oh, that's nice. You think you'd make the tattoo?
All right, overstep my boundary. Sounds like we really like this Kevin Owens bit. All right, let's just fly through the rest of the stuff. Did I miss anything big here? You can hear me on Masked Man, probably fill in the gaps of what we didn't talk about. I didn't do a 40-minute tirade about about a 40-minute tirade.
Add that to the list.
A 40-minute tirade. Anyway, okay, whatever.
Don't rain on my tirade.
Shut up, guys. This is hot garbage. Don't rain on my tirade. Okay, so random thoughts, random things. Okay, Jinder, actually solid delivery of jokes this week.
Yeah.
He had the joke about, like, are you Nicholas to Gable? And he was like, mini-me? Like, I thought he just died.
Yeah.
That is heel AF, baby. Yeah. Just say, Vern Troyer died this week.
He also dropped his accent. Did you notice that? When he was doing his joke, his accent was very much more Canadian.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Gable has a lot of potential, but and clearly they're behind him, whatever, but he's off as a character. Like, he had way more specificity to him when he was in NXT. Like, he had the towel. He's like ready, willing, and Gable.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back. He needs something more. His singlet was off. It was just like, what does that singlet look like? Created player, default.
Right,
like he looked like a jobber. He looks like a jobber.
Yeah.
And like he needs like a look.
Yeah.
The joke, I was saying he should go on Masked Man. I was like, he should be like the 110% American, like the double American.
Right.
And he's even more American. 50. He's got 100 stars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it would be, but he does, or the Olympic alternate. And he's like an alternative Olympic guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be. But no, he needs to find something because his in-ring talent is one of the top guys in the company.
Yeah.
Ability wise. And love it. Okay. Riot Squad. Are they like supposed to be the Suicide Squad? I know this is kind of behind, but I think that's what it is, right? Because they're kind of a ragtag bunch and then that.
Just
give me a reason they're together and then I'll buy it.
Here's the amount of thought I think WWE put into it. Ruby Riott's last name is Riott, and this is her squad.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Baron Corbin. I actually thought it cut a pretty decent promo for him this week.
Yeah.
He's always like a little not like fully in it, but he does have a level of authenticity. He feels like the lone wolf thing really does work for me at times. Like, he does feel like a guy who like has no friends, doesn't care about having friends, he beat up No Way Jose and like he's like, I don't like when people have fun.
Yeah.
He feels like that guy, even from my Twitter exchange with him.
Yeah, I love when he's like, you don't think I see what this is?
Yeah.
That conga line is just an excuse for them to jump me when I have my back turned.
What
conga line's ever been violent?
Yeah, like, all those slobs.
Yeah.
yeah, that'd be, if No Way Jose had a heel turn where he did have plants in the conga line.
That's the only way that I would. Could,
yeah. God.
Right now, it's go jabroni. Away. Jose,
Alexa
go
Bliss.
Away.
Moment of bliss.
I love this.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Just talking about it's so heel.
Yeah.
She's basically saying Nia Jax is so fat that she steals food from homeless people.
Yeah.
It's like the most heel thing ever, but it's framed as a PSA.
Yeah.
Just being like, and you got to stop bullies like Nia Jax, but she's the bully. Really nice.
Yeah. Really nice.
Really nice. Alexa and Carmella are in great spots. The problem with them is, can they captivate in a wrestling match?
Sure.
I mean, Carmella's only gotten over via climbing a ladder, James Ellsworth. Like,
I think Alexa's talent is adequate.
If she could wrestle, like, if she had more springboard, like, if she could flip and stuff, she'd be in such a good spot. If she had, like, a Rey Mysterio element to her, that'd be, like, a really nice spot for her.
Yeah.
But, anyway. All right. Moving on. Flying through. Baby. Hopping on. All right. Matt Hardy. Oh, when he applauded a cart of wheel.
Yeah.
Amazing. Just being like, you're great.
Yeah.
I love that. The Woken new tag finish, they did like an assisted or like an impaler twist of fate. Didn't really go smoothly, but I like that they're moving away from the Roman Reigns just like RKO thing that they did. You know, the Randy Orton thing that Bray and him did. It was too much of a rehash it was. Because the twist of fate is basically an RKO.
And I can definitely see where if they did this, like it was maybe just like a little bit of a botch timing-wise, but like Bray running into him and having the guy like kind of stumble forward into a twist of fate, I love.
Yeah. Iconics, another great week for them. Really like them. I really like, they're great.
Yeah.
Iconics are great.
Yeah.
Really enjoying what they're doing. They're playing off each other really well. I like that they got a win. Yeah. Dug that. I like the Naomi and Jey Uso. Like, I like that they're working that in. It feels, you're rocking the Naomi shirt.
Yeah.
I like that. I thought that was cool. Not a big Bludgeon Brother fan. I think Bludgeon Brothers explain the gimmick, man.
Yeah.
Like, what's their deal?
That's a question I have. Didn't they have these vignettes before they debuted? And they didn't explain them, right? It was just them going like, darkness is light. And like just saying nonsense.
Nah, nothing stuck.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why not just say that they're like wandering, like they're like post Roshnishi, right?
Yeah,
that's why they're in the red. They were in the cult
of
the Wyatts, and they're wearing that, and they're just still in the remnants, and they're just lost cult members, directionless, guru-less cult members.
Yeah,
right. They used to work.
What do you call those?
Guru-less cult members who they're like AWOL cult guys or whatever, and they used to work on the compound with the ballots,
right?
Like they were construction guys there, and now they're just wandering with these bludgeon. And then their brothers, they're the Bludgeon Brothers. Like even that, I would appreciate. But it's just like guys who carry mallets and wear like
and they're like from
hats.
Like some weird realm where like it doesn't make any sense. I think that what are they called? Like samurai, Ronin. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that seems to be more what they're going for, but that's off. Like that doesn't fit. Anyway, last thing we're gonna cover, and is this. Shinsuke Nakamura with the new heel music.
I like
what do
that.
You think?
I like
kind of a banger.
I got to tell you. So the original music we know is also our SmackDown theme song, which for the new listeners, this is a great way to kill two birds.
Wait, whose entrance music is this? I don't recognize this song.
Oh, it's time. Everybody knows it's time to talk about SmackDown. So that's the old Shinsuke Nakamura theme. Here's the new one. It's like, it's cool. Now, when it first played, I was like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
It was like, first of all, I had this weird intro video of like whatever the band is, like opening up like a violin case. And like, I was like, I hope they get rid of that. I don't really need that. But like, I was like, what? And then Corey Graves framed it. And this is just an example of like, just make things make sense. Explain what they are. He just goes like, Shinsuke told me that he was sick of people singing along to his theme song. So he tweaked it.
Yeah.
Cool. And then it does feel more heel. When I first heard it, I was like, Vince, this has officially lost his mind. The one thing working on Shinsuke, he's going to tweak. Yeah. And then now it's just like, oh, yeah, you can't really sing along to it.
Yeah.
If you do, it's kind of racist.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You can't like. I can't
unless you're fluent in Japanese.
Ooh, that's that's on the line. That's on the line. Resident black person, step it in. That's on the line.
Resident black person.
is that stepping on the line? What is bad about that?
I mean, I'm just saying it feels.
It feels bad, but is it really? anyway, okay.
let's get a debate about it. That'll piss me off on the page.
Forget about it. Yeah. Oh, jeez. I'm digging myself another hole. All right. No, but I think it's cool. It works for him. I'm like, to be honest, this is the biggest week. This is the most interesting I've been in Shinsuke this week.
I'm loving it.
His whole face is like, just looks so evil. He looks like a lunatic. Like, it's like, oh, I get it. Like, he's fucking,
Ichi the killer, the fucking, you know what I mean? He's like one of those types of like, fucking, it's like Yakuza psychos.
Absolutely. Yeah, it works. I mean, I still would like a little more framing. It's still a little bit just like he's crazy.
Right.
But I like that the justification is the whole thing is like hiding behind the fact he doesn't speak English. So it's like, we do know he has like intentions. We do know he has feelings, but he's not giving it to this because he doesn't care.
Right.
So it's a little different than I'm just crazy.
Right.
He's not crazy. He's not talking to you. You're not worth his time.
Right.
Right. And he just keeps cramming AJ Styles in the plums. Credit to Jason Shapiro for calling it the plums. And I think that's it. So anyway, everybody, we're going to play one cash in at the end here. You want to hear what our cash in is?
2:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday. Cashing in, Nick Tulo. My phone is 6 feet away from me. Hope this is good for you, Zig. Just cashing in on the state of wrestling right now. I mean, if you think about how Raw and SmackDown are at after this superstar shakeup, the matches that went on, you had Elias beating Bobby Roode without even performing a second to show Elias' skills. The Zig and McIntyre segment was absolute awesome fucking booking. I mean, McIntyre is a beast on the mic and just a beast of a human being.
True.
The Bullet Club coming back together with Anderson taking a bullet for AJ, this heel work by Nakamura, the Lashley and Strowman match against Owens and Zayn and the bumps that Owens take. I mean, it's just awesome, awesome booking. The Miz with Big Cass and Cass coming out in the suit and cutting an awesome promo. I mean, holy shit. I mean, even if Greatest Royal Rumble wasn't here, which I think is kind of throwing a wrench into the thing with the way there's cross belts and cross matches and the possibility. It seems like it's going to be easy booking, but I think that's just always us getting work that it's easy to decide. But who knows what can happen? Like, what happens if all the belts go over onto one? Who cares? What happens if Sheamus and Cesaro win the fucking Raw belts? They're going to bring them over to SmackDown? What happens if Jeff Hardy beats, Jinder and the belt stays in the U.S. and then The Miz wins the IC and Roman wins the Universal title, and then Samoa Joe beats him at Backlash, and all the belts are on one side, and then this huge feud between brands and crossovers, and all this crazy shit happens. Man, usually after WrestleMania, we die down a little bit, and we go into a little low, but it's faction season. We still haven't seen Almas. We still haven't seen Sanity. Like, there's a lot of shit that's going to be going down. The women's division, the Iconics, Asuka and Becky Lynch wrestling together and taking an L to the Iconics, Carmelo segment. Damn, man. Yo, wrestling's awesome. I love you all. Newman, happy belated 420. Hope you got high as a motherfucker. Keep posting trippy fucking messages. Kisses.
All right, Nick Tulo, Jabroniac, longtime listener and a true crazy man. He's been having fun. He's coming at me from an angle. Listen, I'm a sucker for if you just come out, you start listening. One of my favorite things wrestling people do is you just start going like, in the Iconics, they're doing awesome. Plus Daniel Bryan's back, and you're like, and Lesnar? Like, oh, fuck, wrestling rocks. We all have those moments of like, oh, wrestling's the best.
That's the
best stuff. Anyway, all right, let's wrap it up here, Newman. How you feeling? Let's get into some plugs. I'll plug first, and then you guys can go. You can hit me on Twitter at @dblackattack. You can check me out right now. I'm on a lot of podcasts making the rounds. Like I said, check me out on Masked Man with Dave Shoemaker and Dave Schilling. And you can and you can listen to me on Raised by TV on Earwolf with John Gabris and Lauren Lapkus. Check that out. And you can check out our bonus episodes on our Patreon. Become a patron at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. We have coming up, not this week, the week after, we're going to have an episode with Thomas Middleditch, Donnie Verizon. you know him from Silicon Valley. He's my buddy I improvise with. Thomas Middleditch will come on here and we talk about all his wrestling, his love of wrestling. And right now you can listen to our preview of our Patreon, Skylar Astin episode. Is up right now on the main feed. Check that out as a preview. And if you become a patron, we have At Wrestling for Sale. Talking about merch, I make a merch sale on the air. Also, we have our Mania 34 chair contest happening right now. Subscribe to all of our socials. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and make a karaoke version of Out of Touch by Hall & Oates. You can find an instrumental easily on YouTube. And don't worry about production value. We're basing this on creativity, basing it on lyrics, basing it on fun. So just bring your own to it. Our submissions so far are really good.
Can I just read a review that just came in?
Yeah.
All right. 5 stars. Already off to a good start. It's from Baba Beautiful. It says, quote, "I never understood the appeal of Howard Stern, but I suffered through the Long Island drive time shtick of Dan Black, given on how uplifting his manic markdom is. I appreciate having it at least one sports entertainment podcast where it's all real to them, damn it." So there that's a good precedent to set, folks.
Thank you, baby. I am trying. Thank you. And I appreciate you understanding my markdom. I appreciate you understanding that I'm trying to capture the essence of a South African Uber driver. Picking up Bailey, Seth Rollins. Man, dude, if you guys check out that video, it's posted on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page, 4 a.m. You can post it at 4 a.m. I literally been posting it at 4 a.m. almost every day.
You literally dropped an episode at 4 a.m, I think, this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, if you want to talk about wrestling, just go on there. Yeah. It's a great time. We got a great community. I'm really proud of that community. I think a bunch of people, we had an awesome discussion about the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. Like, no one calling anybody names, everyone voicing their opinion. People who have there's always one opinion that's slightly more edgy or problematic, and they were able to voice that. And it's such a great place to talk about wrestling. It's a thing we like, that I fucking love.
It's the only place on the internet to talk about wrestling that isn't a fucking
swampy
shit fucking abyss.
Anyway, on there's a video of an Uber driver picking up those wrestlers, and he's marking out hard. I mean, the guy can barely contain himself. He's like crying and driving. He's like, "Where are you guys going? Oh my God, Seth Rollins! Yeah. Is that Bailey? Bailey! Oh my God, Sasha!" And then he goes like, "Where's, like, I don't know, another wrestler?" He's like, "Where? Do you guys know
where Virgil?"
He's like, "Where's you know where they are?" And he's like, "Oh, he's somewhere else." Yeah. It's great. Anyway, cool. What other plugs you guys got?
My Twitter is at CocoBWoke. I got a monthly show at UCB Sunset, third Friday of every month, starting next month, May 18th, called Greatest Concert Ever. Come check that out.
Yeah, I got to check that out. Zig, you want to plug something?
Yeah, for me, all social at Yay for Zig. This Thursday, I think, for the next 3 Thursdays, I was in a show for Soul Pancake called Future Puppet News.
Oh, yeah, very
funny.
So
if you want to, thank you. And also, your girlfriend is one of the voices in the show, so check that out. It's a fun show, and we want viewers to get a season 2. So
that sounds awesome. Check that out. I just want to quickly plug my wife's on a show called Crashing on HBO. You can check that out. It's on HBO. Get your mom's HBO Go password and check it out. But they're currently working on season 3. Check out my wife Jamie Lee on there. And hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Of wrestling, I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.